Hi, everybody. Welcome today. We've had our challenges so far this morning, but it looks like we're getting started on time. So anyway, we're in good shape. Welcome today. Glad you're all with us. I'm very excited about today. We've got a lot of things going on. But before I get into the channel and some of the things we're going to actually talk about today, there's a couple things we want to cover and kind of bring you up to date on with a few things that the group is talking about here. Let me come over here and we'll get situated over here. I do like to sit down. Anyway, a couple things. Number one, tomato count. Important thing. That's my tomato crop this year. My tomato crop this year stands at 701 as of yesterday. Those are actually ripe tomatoes that we've taken off that are edible, not ones with holes in them or anything else. Those are absolutely perfect tomatoes. We're going for 1,000 this year. We'll see how it works. And of course, interesting part, I'm not that crazy about tomatoes. Anyway, well, glad you're here today. You may have seen the news too on something I wanted to share with you too. A while back, there was a piece of news and the group said, "Watch this. It's going to be really big." And that was when, just a few weeks ago or months ago, when we launched the James Webb Telescope. Well, we just got the first images back from the James Webb Telescope. And I have to say, so far, just, you know, it looks like any other thing that you'd see. But the detail on this and the ability to go back deep into space is absolutely incredible. This, they're pushing 13 billion years of light that they're trying to get to. There's only 13.7 in the universe because that's when the Big Bang happened, 13.7 billion years ago. Light is still getting to us from that. So yeah, a lot of things going on. Okay, let's talk about virus for a second, because we do have a new variant that is absolutely hitting the United States very hard, and I think it's hitting the rest of the world too. But I don't get reports from the rest of the world as much as I do from the United States. And that is the BA.5 variant. I'll go back to what the group said a long time ago. We didn't have a special global light just for this, because nothing has really changed from what the group said the last time we talked about the whole virus and every other part of it. They said 3 to 5 years. We're just approaching the three. The other thing that they said about this is that the subvariants will be coming in regularly for a while. And as they come in, they will be more transmissible and less harmful. Well, the BA.5 variant is less harmful, meaning that less people will die from it. But it doesn't mean the less people are going to get it. A lot of people are catching this, and you know, if they're compromised, they'll die anyway. So I just want to let people know about this, because I know we've got so many people that are just absolutely fed up with dealing with all of this stuff, don't want to wear masks, we don't want to have vaccines, we don't want this, we don't want anybody telling us what to do. Well, I'm putting my mask back on, guys, just to let you know. I am absolutely there. This is going to be I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we don't have some new mask guidelines coming very quickly. So watch for that. And to me, that's one of the easiest things. That's a no-brainer, the whole mask thing. But anyway, I won't get too much in that. That's just my personal opinion and mine. What else? There is one other piece that I want to share with you real quick. And that's that we have had 11 million people now displaced in the Ukraine. There's 11 million homeless people in the Ukraine. And what is taking place now is Russia is continuing not only to bomb different places, but now they're bombing residential areas, which they've always been doing. They've always been hitting residential areas, but they're hitting them in different areas now that are not areas that they're trying to take over. They are simply trying to destroy as much of the Ukraine as they possibly can. It is a very difficult situation, very challenging. You may have heard me talk about Julia. Julia is one of the translators that we have who stayed in the Ukraine. Several of them left, and one of them's in Poland right now. Just heard from her, and we've heard from different people in different areas. But Julia stayed there and is kind of holding the energy there. I mentioned her before, and a lot of people wrote to her. So she made a little video that I want to play for everybody that just kind of says thank you a little bit for that. I also want to tell you that she offered to do a little grounding session on video, which she has done, and I've put it up on a page. You'll see that page link right below the link here, right below what you're watching. If you just look a little further down, you'll see that. But you won't see this video from her saying thank you. That is the letter that she wrote to say thank you and to tell everybody about what she's doing, and also to offer that grounding section she's been working with. But she also wanted to say thanks.
I want also to thank everybody who's writing to me directly or via Inspower website. I received all your comments, all your messages, and I appreciate everybody who's asking how am I, how is my daughter, how is my family. I want to thank everybody who sends love, light. Your support is very important. It touches my heart. And the unity that we are forming now, that is a huge process. And as you can see, that is not an easy one. But I do feel this unity grounded right now on the planet, and I do feel it lights up our hearts, and we do build this huge web of connection of human hearts. So let's keep doing this work, but let's keep doing it, not because of the war, not because of some other problems like earthquakes or etc., etc. Let's do it not because of the problems. Let's do it not because of the fear. Let's just try. I know that it's not an easy task to us, to humans, but let's just try to build this connection from love. Only because we want to reach it, we want to remember this unity within our hearts. Because doing from the fear, acting from the fear, yeah, that is a huge motivator, but doing from love, that is the other step, that is the next step. So let's do this next step and form unity together, and let's be within our hearts. Let's remember who we are. Thank you for sharing this process, this huge, very significant process. Thank you for sharing it now with me, and that is an honor to be in this process here with all of you right now on the planet Earth. And thank you once again for all your light, love, healing and support that you sent. I receive it and send it to you as well.
Thank you, Julia. Very difficult situation for everybody, but thank you so much for holding the energy for all of us and sharing what's going on from your perspective inside of Ukraine. Thanks. Also, as we mentioned, she has done another video to kind of offer a grounding for people that would like that, and it's offered free of charge on that other page down there that I've just linked. Also, she has put her PayPal address there if anybody'd like to send her anything. A little difficult to make a living in the Ukraine right now. So anyway, we'll put that there. Thanks so much, Julia. Do appreciate it. We're going to bring Allison in pretty soon. And, of course, we have Meg with us as well to bring a beautiful little another segment of this ever-evolving story that's going in so many directions. The group has two channels. We're going to start with one here in just a minute, and then we will be back with the final channel, which is going to be today from Merlia. She is absolutely insistent on talking today, so I would never stand in her way with that kind of energy. So anyway, welcome today. Thanks for, like I said, being with us and being a part of this whole process. We'll get started now. Give me just a second here. We'll go into channel. Be right back. Aspava. Greetings, dear ones. I am observer. I see from afar, but I see heart energy. I see light. I see the energies that you work with every day. And the whole idea of all this, dear ones, is to blend. Yes, it's very difficult because as you blend, you feel like you're losing part of yourself in some way. But we tell you that's not the case. You're actually creating more beauty as you do that aspect. As you start working in those ways, you create forms of beauty that were never there before. Absolutely amazing. Blend often. Work with those things that tend to keep you apart, most of which are belief systems. You're shared a planet together with all these other spirits that have tried to play this game of pretending to be human. See them as exactly that. So let's open the healing circle now. In the very beginning, open your heart and bring all the energy in that you can carry. Excellent. And now let's first focus on planet Earth herself. She is changing very rapidly. Of course, all humans are feeling the effects of that change. What you call global warming is part of an evolutionary process. It is something that's going to continue for a while and get worse. But we also tell you this part of this evolution does not mean the end of anything. It does mean the next step. It does mean the next connections. But right now, let's all hold hands and create a wonderful time bubble to where anyone who wishes to come into this time bubble at a later time certainly can. It will hold open in that space to where their energy at any point can add to yours and to what is taking place right now. So take a deep breath and extend your hands, at least energetically, and take the hands of those around you. Blend the light, blend the love, blend all of it. And work in harmony now to send that beautiful love to planet Earth. For she is changing at very rapid rates. And that is producing things that are very difficult for you to live with. The redistribution of water is a huge one. Certain areas getting way too much and certain areas not getting enough. And that will continue for a while until the Earth finds a new balance. That's part of what that's about. But if you take your time right now and go deep into your soul, your spirit, feel the grounding of the Earth in your own physical body. Touch your feet to the ground. And draw the energy up through that essence into your physical being. Let the mother be a part of you during that moment. And know the changes she's going through are changes that you've gone through as well. By simply holding her hand, you can make her journey easier, which will, of course, make your lives much simpler. Much less complex. Take a breath, dear ones. There is magic at hand. We tell you, there is much taking place that you do not see behind the veil. There are alignments taking place. Yes, some of them will reach critical moments where they have difficulties. But we tell you, there is help at hand. And that's underway now. You see, quite some time ago, we told you that there would be many leaving the planet. Early. They have now gathered on the other side of the veil to help. These master healers can create things that very few humans can. And now that they're on the other side of the veil, they are forming and connecting and blending their energy to make these next steps of humanity much easier, much more comfortable for a spirit pretending to be a human. Take a breath, dear ones. Well done. Know that you are never alone. We watch you every moment of every day. Yes, we see you step the wrong directions, you say. Yes, we see you take misdirections of energy. Yes, we see you step in the mud puddle once in a while, too. But the main thing about stepping in a mud puddle, don't stop, keep going. There's much more to this than you know. Because even though we watch you make what you call mistakes, the love is always there. And in truth, there are no mistakes. Every place you step can take you into a further evolution of your own humanity. Even with difficulties. You have ample opportunities on planet Earth right now to experience that in multiple ways. Stretch out. Let them find you. Let them come to you. Draw all that energy to you. And when it comes to you, just know that all you have to do is focus on it and it will dissipate. Your love will dissipate many challenges, even on planet Earth. And with enough of you doing that, you will change this planet again. Welcome home, dear ones. We have been waiting for you. It is with the greatest pleasure that we ask you all to treat each other with respect. Nurture one another at every opportunity and play well together. That's one of the key elements of where you're going. Learning to play well together. Aspavo, dear ones, I am observer. And I do like to watch. Aspavo.
Hello and welcome to the part of the show in which I talk about the astrological winds that are coming our way for the next few weeks. And actually, astrology is pretty much like that. It is like a weather report. It doesn't actually say you've got to or you definitely will, but it says, well, kind of the winds are blowing in that direction. So if you want to use the cosmic energy to its best, then it's always best to swim with the flow. Anyway, so we just had a full moon in Capricorn because the sun was in Cancer, and that was very much about family. And so family matters would have been right at the forefront. I think also we normally see at the full moon, where we've got the moon in Capricorn and the sun in Cancer, we normally see a sensitivity on one side, an emotional vulnerability on one side, and on the other side, a stern or rigid or authoritarian energy. So somebody else's behavior can make us feel exasperated and stern because we see them as being perhaps too self-pitying. But if you're the one that's emotional, then you can look at the other person and think, why are they so horrible to me? But anyway, so that's kind of over now. But the next few days are very much taken up with the Eris-Pluto square, which I've been talking about to you all year. And so this is where the tension for disruption and change, generation of energy, so everything gets generated and moved on to what it must become. Pluto is it's really like the Hindu Shiva, the creator and the destroyer. So everything gets destroyed and created. And Aries just causes trouble, discord, disharmony, dysfunction, and usually where we've done something that we shouldn't have done. So it was not the right year for Boris Johnson, our Prime Minister, to have hidden parties in Downing Street, or attend hidden parties. I don't think he had the time to organise them, actually. Attend these parties in Downing Street while the rest of the UK was on lockdown and not able to go out. Eris will always uncover the things that we want most hidden. But it wasn't just about those parties, because it went on and on and on with every single thing that he tried to cover up. It was exposed and exposed and exposed until eventually Pluto took control and went, okay, let's just knock this off, implode this lot and start all over again. So not the right time for poor old Boris Johnson. For the rest of us, yeah, there might be something in your life where you've got found out, or the bird comes home to roost, or you've made your bed and now you're going to have to lie in it, that kind of stuff. Now, the extra focus is caused by the fact that the Sun and Mercury are getting involved with these two planets, Pluto and Eris. And it's kind of like, so if Eris is on one road and Pluto's on another road, it's kind of like we add more traffic by putting some more planets in. So we add Mercury and we add the Sun. Now the roads are quite sort of full and the planets are bumping into each other. And so it creates a lot more energy of the type that I've just mentioned. And this goes on actually through to the 18th, 19th of July. A lot can get exposed at this time. If you're dealing with destruction at this time, or the decomposition of something, or the, you know, something's, the wheel has come off, then what I suggest you do is make use of this time to quickly, oh, my beagle has just come to say hello. make use of this time to work with the energy as fast as you can and reconnect. Don't dwell on something, just move quickly onwards, because you've got a highly generative energy there, which honestly will assist you in reconnecting, getting on with it. Yeah, okay, Boris, you lost your job. What next? Get on with the next thing. And it'll be better than the one before. It's always better than the one before with Pluto, but we don't think so at the time. Anyway, so that's the next few days. The Sun moves into Leo on the 21st or 22nd of July. This is a fire sign. I'm one of the more showy fire signs, but with a very painful interior. Leos always look so confident, but lurking inside every Leo is a painful experience which embarrasses or humiliates them. I always think that high summer here in the northern latitudes, coinciding with the Sun moving into Leo, that's about right, because it is a very passionate, warm and hot energy, just like fire element. Okay, so that makes us all kind of like, oh, indolent, lazy, you know, let's just go on the beach, you know, laze around and have fun. Leo is all about having fun and playing. So that's nice, that's cool. And so something else to talk about this month is we have another three planets turning to go retrograde. So that's Chiron, Eris herself and Jupiter. And the problem with this is that they add to the retrograde planets that we have in the sky. So we've already got Neptune, Vesta, Saturn, Pluto. So we're now getting an awful lot of retrograde planets. And this means that the cosmos is basically slowing down and going over things, redoing, relooking, paying attention once more. This is another opportunity for you to do the things that you got wrong in the last couple of weeks or something. Maybe Boris will get a reprieve and somebody will give him the job in the cabinet office anyway, not prime minister, but maybe something a little bit lower. And then he can have as much fun as he likes because he's not running the country. But anyway, I digress. So you can see what I'm saying. I'm using him as an example. It's a chance to go over something and this time to put it to bed in a better way. And so this retrograde movement will carry on until nearly everything in the sky is retrograde, which is really unusual. But we'll talk more about that next month because that's when it will be most obvious. Okay, I want also to talk about the 31st of the 7th, so the 31st of July, when we get the planet Mars going conjunct to Uranus. Now, Uranus has enough energy to cause a meteorite to shoot out from the outer solar system and come thundering into the inner solar system and hit the Earth's crust. Uranus is very good with thunderbolts and meteorites, and the tower card in the tarot deck is very much like Uranus. So lightning strikes when Uranus is around. It's groundbreaking and it has an electrical feel to it. It is an air planet. When you put the Mars's testosterone with that, or Mars's adrenaline, you get oh so much energy. You get it sparking all over the place. So there'll be a lot of rifts, rows, groundbreaking things, breakthrough, breakdown, break up. Up's a good word, uproot, uproar. So watch for that one. Very good for new things, that very good for intuition, ingenuity, genius, bright ideas. Very good. Scientific breakthroughs, brilliant. They're always good when these two get together. Okay, and then on the 28th of the 7th, which was 2 days before the 30th, there is a new moon in showy Leo. And so this means that we can all go slightly bonkers, really. We can just show off and be first on the karaoke and indulge in great passion and joy and playfulness and that kind of stuff. Okay, so I think that was all I wanted to cover for now. That was it. And I'm looking forward to talking to you next month. Please do remember, if there's anything you have a problem with, a relationship that's not working, or you don't understand something, or you hate your job, or you want a new career, then do just Google my name, Alison Chester Lambert. I'm an astrologer, a psychological astrologer, and I would be very, very pleased to have a consultation with you. That would be great. You only need the one, and I've got like 100% success of people feeling better after they've spoken to me. So that's worth going for. And I would be thrilled to talk to you. We would speak on Skype. It has to be Skype, because that matches my astrology software. We'd have a cup of coffee and then a natta and everything, talk about the weather, because I'm English, we always talk about the weather. And that would be great. Okay, so I'm going to shut up now with my showing off. And I'm just going to say thank you very much. Namaste. It was lovely to talk to you. And I hope you have a fantastic summer. And I look forward to seeing you next month. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Allison. Glad you're here. Yeah, that whole piece about Uranus pulling in asteroids from the outer solar, from outside the solar system, that's something we watch very carefully. The group watches that very carefully. They're always scanning the skies because when we see that happening, if we catch it early enough, we can actually push that asteroid. And we've done that before. Anyway, we'll keep our eyes open. Thanks, Allison, for keeping an eye on everything. Next, we've got Meg coming up, so be right with you.
Hi, everybody. So nice to be here with you on the Global Light Broadcast for August. I am really excited to talk about today. Today I want to talk about karma and past lives. It's such a fascinating topic to consider, isn't it? We may have beliefs, and I think in this group we all have common beliefs about reincarnation and having experienced many, many, many lives. So therefore we have past lives. But wouldn't it be nice to be able to access some of those without having someone else tell us about them, but to have our own minds reveal just the right information for us specifically, because our subconscious mind has every memory of every lifetime we've ever lived stored, and we have access to it through hypnosis. So I want to talk about some of these benefits and really get you thinking about your life, about consciousness, about presence, about accessing information and the power that you really do have if you learn how to yield it. So first, let's talk about karma a little bit, because with reincarnation comes the conversation of karma. It's the checks and balances of life. I like to think of karma as our insurance policy for learning. It's never about punishment, and in the West, it's been misconstrued a little bit about that, especially through old religions. In other words, we have no power, we're being watched, checked, evaluated, and if we do something wrong, it feels like punishment. When we think of karma, and one of the types of karma, balancing karma, for example, what you do is done unto you, that's not a threat. You see, in the East, their philosophical view of karma is that we live multiple lives for the purpose of healing or eliminating our conditioned mind. Right? That's beautiful. It means we are constantly evolving, growing, expanding. It's about our spiritual growth. And as a result, we are healing that conditioned mind, those false beliefs that our ego tells us, that inner voice that tells us we're separate, we're not good enough, we don't belong, we have to prove ourselves. Our whole society has been built on false beliefs, hasn't it, when we start to really look at it? And the Western view is that we live enough lifetimes that our soul infiltrates our personality. And what's interesting about that is the personality does not reincarnate, right? Meg of 14th century Scotland, and I'll tell you about that past life regression later on today, was very different than Meg in 2022. So our programming is what reincarnates so that we continue to expand and grow, that soul expansion. And karma is what keeps that in balance. Does that start to make sense? So it's not about being punished, ever. It's about cause and effect for every action. For every thought, there's a corresponding emotion, and for every emotion, a corresponding thought, right? Checks and balances. When we start to think about living with an awakened mind, and you just ponder that for a minute, because we know that science has shown us that 95% of our daytime is spent unconsciously in a pattern, in loops of habitual thinking and behavior. Actions. So thoughts drive actions. Loop again. Loop again. Based on what? Our programming. Based on our false beliefs. Because everyone has programming that is based in negative and not in positive. And how do we know that? Are you living the life that you dream of? Are you making enough money? Are you in a happy relationship? Do you have wonderful support around you? Are you courageous and brave? Do you wake up every day excited? Is it easy to follow that inspired action? Is it easy to follow that intuition that comes in and you naturally take the next action? It's in an ebb and flow. You trust where your money's coming from. You trust what's coming next, right? There is a flow to this and a validation of it. And all of us have areas that we're learning to master, right? We come in with those life lessons. So in the areas where it's not quite where we want it to be, instead of judging it, comparing ourselves to others, listening to that voice that says, oh, we're not doing that well. Who are you to think you can do that? You can't have it all. You can have this, but you can't have this. All of that, that's all stories that we tell ourselves, aren't they? And you know what I'm talking about. We all tell ourselves a story to justify and protect us a little bit from the pain that it feels to look at that and think that we're responsible and therefore we failed. Therefore we're not good enough. Therefore we're not deserving. We're not lovable. Those are false. So karma, in the karmic wheel, we continue to incarnate, to master these lessons. And these checks and balances are in place. So let's get into that a little bit. Actually, I want to tell you a story first. I live next door. My next door neighbors are Tibetans. And it's a father and daughter that live in the house right next door to us. And they are so very lovely. And in the beginning, when we first started living together, their Eastern philosophy to not harm anything because we don't want that karma, right? So we take conscious action. We try to be as conscious as possible through our day, making choices that don't impact others because we don't want that balancing karma of what you do unto others is done unto you. Again, not a punishment, but an awareness. When we begin to live awakened, doesn't that mean we start to take care of the earth, take care of its creatures? Respect the balance. We live here together. We have equal rights on this planet. We have equal rights as humans. You can see we are out of balance, but we have choice every day for our own karmic balance, our own responsibility to be more conscious. And so one of the things the Tibetans did is that they don't kill anything. So there were weeds growing up between our properties, and then the weeds became bigger weeds, and then trees, and we had big weed trees, and I would drive in, and our driveway was getting more and more and more narrow, and I was just thinking to myself, could I just go pull out those weeds? Could I just go take those weeds out? They're weeds, they're not flowers or trees. And yet, now, we've got this beautiful tree in between our properties that looks almost like a funky palm tree of Massachusetts. But it's their pride. And their love and the flowers that sprout up spontaneously in their yard without landscaping. But it's their conviction to live by their principles, their awakened principles, that humbles me. And so now every time I look at that weed tree, it's humbling to me. It reminds me, don't just go into your automatic program. You're thinking, you don't like it, let's get rid of it, control the environment. That's unconscious. Conscious is, this is a choice that they've made based on a belief that is so profound and tens of thousands of years old. And I respect that and I can learn from that, can't I? There is a peace, there's a resonance that comes in when we're just talking about it, isn't there? And if we start to live that way with each other, imagine what can happen in this world. So there are other types of karma. Another is physical karma. And physical karma is quite literal. For example, in a past life, you shot someone in the abdomen and they died. And in this lifetime, you have unexplainable digestive issues with constant burning in your abdomen whenever you are eating heavier meals. And you can't quite explain it, and all your tests to investigate it come back inconclusive, or that there's nothing really there. And so This is something that you've carried over from a previous lifetime. I worked with a client once who suffered from constant allergies, and we did a lot of work around it. And when nothing resolved it, so clinical hypnotherapy, looking at programming from childhood, looking at when they began, these types of things, and when we weren't able to get the results, I knew that we had to go further. So we open the bridge in a session and go back into a past life. We give the instruction to the subconscious mind to find the origin of this. Your subconscious mind takes everything you say literally and as an instruction and responds. And we saw in that past life, her own mind revealed to us that she saw she was a male who ran an old mill factory and they were creating toxic shoe polish, and she was not a very kind boss or kind man. And as a result, many of his employees were very ill and had very sick lungs from breathing that all day as they worked in this factory. And so in this life, she constantly felt like her chest was compressed, brought on by the sneezing that, you know, she felt was allergies, but it was this compression in her chest that she wanted to relieve, thinking it's the allergies. Well, that compression was key, because that really turned out to be the guilt that she was carrying, right? So there was a sense of guilt from causing this damage to other people, and it manifested in this lifetime as physical karma, these allergies that didn't respond to any form of treatment because it was something that her programming, remember, programming reincarnates, so her programming came in saying, we keep this chest compression, we never ever hurt people like that again. It's going to be a reminder for us, but it also was hurting her, and this isn't punishment. We can heal and remedy karma. So in seeing that lifetime, we were able to process it through. We were able to do some deep forgiveness work around it. We were able to see that through that whole lifetime, that wasn't everything that defined that individual. There were many other things that he did that were good. That was something that was quite innocent at the time. It wasn't intentional to hurt people, but it was a way that they were manufacturing at the time. And so when we begin to see and forgive and take in more information, we can collapse that. And then the allergies resolve themselves. So understanding a past life origin for a present life condition can be extraordinarily healing and powerful. Another type of karma is false guilt, taking responsibility for something that you are not responsible for. So we saw almost a little bit of that in the last example I gave you. In this, I worked with a client who had an unexplainable sensitivity and eye pain. It was just an eye pain that she went to an ophthalmologist. There was nothing wrong with her eyes. It didn't come on at certain trigger points, times of year, light sensitivity, things like that. There was just this recurring, low-grade, annoying pain and sensitivity. And when we dug deeper and traveled into a past life, because again, it wasn't resolving to the protocols that we were running from this current life, we'd cleaned up all that programming, so we opened the bridge and went into a past life, and she discovered that she was a girl in a past life that was very, very psychic, at a time that was not safe to be so. And she was brave, and she tried to tell her village, her community, that there was a warring tribe coming. She saw the destruction of her village before it had happened, but they didn't believe her because she was a small girl. And so it all came to pass. And as a result, everyone perished, and she felt terribly guilty for that. She carried false guilt in this lifetime, thinking that had she just done something different, had she been louder, had she made them listen to her, had she taken her own family and run away, then maybe some could have survived. But that wasn't possible. And so she started to see that in this lifetime, that eye sensitivity, that eye pain, was shutting down that gift and making sure that she never was in that type of situation again. And this client was a very, very intuitive client. So it was very powerful to be able to see that lifetime. And again, bring the forgiveness work in when we understand what's causing this and why. It's that false guilt. It wasn't your fault. Things have happened in our history that you can't necessarily change. Some of our evolution is harsh. So seeing that, but relieving you from that responsibility, from a gift that you had, you tried, right? She had tried. This can be life-changing. When we recognize something that we're dealing with today from a false belief, right? Hear that, false guilt, false fear. Then we can clean it up. We can do something about it. And that becomes very, very powerful. False fear is the next one. And false fear is so fascinating to study because we all know, have heard stories, if not know someone. I knew someone at work that was terrified of water, and yet he had absolutely no bad experiences in water. And back then he used to say, it's got to be from another life. And people used to make a joke about that. It's got to be from another life. But it's actually true. It's actually very true. So, for example, you fell off a cliff in another life, and in this lifetime, you are terrified of heights. I have a sister who is very uncomfortable with heights. She feels it calling her over, literally. And she's a smoker, so when she used to visit and she was on the balcony, she'd stand with her back against the wall as far away from the ledge as she could be because she said, don't you feel it? Don't you feel the pull? It's like it's calling me over. Well, that comes from somewhere. And if it wasn't from an experience that caused trauma in this lifetime, like an almost fall or something scary when you were a child, then it comes from somewhere else. So I worked with a client that had a very, very unusual fear. And her fear was whenever she was in bodies of water, if she couldn't see, and she was only in very shallow, up to her ankles maybe, she had this very vivid fear of small fish biting her. And so as a result, she never really enjoyed vacations. She never really enjoyed traveling. You'd go on a beach holiday and she didn't want to go in the water because she'd always have this vivid imagery of these small fish biting at her feet. And so again, when we traveled into the past life that was the origin of this fear, your subconscious mind takes the instruction and goes specifically to that lifetime. And she saw that she was once a fisherman on a very large fishing rig out in the ocean. And the crew would catch the fish, and they would catch large fish, but they would also net all these small fish and bring them in and store them in freezers down below the deck. And then the captain would drive the boat in and they would collect their earnings and he would pay all of the other fishermen. And so she was one of the fishermen. And in that lifetime, the net, as it brought in thousands of fish, something broke in the functionality of how the mechanics worked, and all the fish spilled out, and she slipped and was lying down as a fisherman, as a man, and all the fish started biting at him. So biting at his legs, biting at his arms, biting at his feet. And so in this lifetime, she had a very vivid recall of these little fish biting at her, and so she was always uncomfortable near the water. So you can see that there was this. It's false because it's not from this life, but it's a very valid fear that came from a previous life's experience that left programming, left a belief in the subconscious mind, don't go in the water. Because the subconscious mind generalizes. So in her programming, it was anytime you're near the water, you could be bitten by all these fish. When we collapse that fear, when we reprogram that and work with the new positive suggestions, the fear dissipated. Took time. It took her a few months to get past that, but then she just slowly, baby steps, and just a couple of weeks ago, she sent me a picture where she has signed up to go deep water diving, which is amazing. So we can overcome things that we carry based on how karma overviews our lives. So we can actually remedy our karma. How we do that is really quite amazing because karma is based on our thoughts, our actions, our words, and our emotions. So in the same way that in past lives, actions, words, situations can cause these beliefs, we can unravel those beliefs with the same applications, right? So what has created a negative, we reverse and create a positive. Now, how past life shows up is always very vivid. When you have recurring dreams or when you have a dream, there are markers, there's criteria that let you know it's from a past life. And they are that they evoke emotion. You feel very strongly. You wake up from a dream that was so real. How many of us have had that? That was so real. It's out of present time. So it evokes a strong emotion, and we know that's not current because of the way the dream is revealed to us. That's the subconscious mind showing us the programming. But it's out of present time. We know it was from another time, a different time than what we experience today in our life. And you never forget it. You never ever forget it because it's so vivid. That's usually an indicator that that's past life revealing itself to you. Now, that's programming, and it's your subconscious mind communicating that you've got something active that's being triggered by your soul expansion, by your growth. You may have hit a point where now all of a sudden this is inhibiting you, and the subconscious mind is showing you the conflict that's going on internally so that you can bring resources to it. You can go back, investigate it, collapse it, reprogram it. So you start to see how karma is our friend. It's not a punishment. It's a checks and balances system that we can work with consciously when we know how to. And another piece that was so interesting to me was, have you heard of the book? It's called Soul Survivor. This book has been verified by scientists. It was the story of James Leninger. And he's the subject. He's a well-known American child reincarnation case. And at the age of two, James was having frequent nightmares of being trapped in a burning plane that was crashing. So vivid emotion, out of present time, absolutely unforgettable, right? Meets the criteria for past life. In further statements to his parents, he said that he'd been shot down in a plane near Iwo Jima. And he had been based on a ship named Natoma. And he had a best friend named Jack Larson. Now, these are verifiable details that James had told them. So his parents started investigating this, and it turned out that these were factual. In fact, they actually flew over because Jack Larson was a vet who was still alive. I don't believe he is now, but at the time he was well into his 90s. And James Leninger met Jack Larson. And as soon as he saw him, he knew his nickname. He recognized him right away as a reincarnated two-year-old. So he had remembered his past life where he was an American pilot killed in action in March of 1945. How extraordinary. Now, why did he remember that, and why do we not remember ours? As a clinical hypnotherapist, what's fascinating about that is before the age of 7, we have not developed that critical factor, that data analyzer that rests between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. So everything that goes in to our minds that we take from our parents, our authority figures, our experience of life, immediately goes directly into the subconscious mind. We don't have logic yet. We don't have reasoning or rationing abilities in our conscious mind yet. So what does that also mean? Well, one, we're collecting a whole lot of programming, which explains why we each have programming, so there should be no judgment or shame about that. But two, brain waves have been studied of children, and up before the age of 7, they are not in beta state. Most of them are in the subconscious levels of alpha and sometimes even delta while awake through the day. Now the rest of us have to drop down into that deep state of hypnosis, that beautiful relaxation, to access our subconscious mind. But children are walking around all day long, right? Think about how creative they are. Think about the subconscious mind. It's literal and it's picture consciousness, and they're off in their minds. They are just walking around in subconscious mind and superconscious mind. And superconscious mind is the field. That's access to everything. So he was just allowing all of that subconscious memory programming coming through, remembering that trauma. Now, he was trying to resolve the past life trauma, wasn't he? Through the nightmares, the programming was coming up. The vivid details that were verifiable was because it was just a pure stream of super consciousness, wasn't it? How extraordinary. So our children prior to the age of 7 have a lot more to be valued for if we're paying attention. And society has taught us to kind of shut that down or think that they're making things up or imagining. How many spiritual people remember seeing things or hearing things or having imaginary friends or super consciousness, right? Subconscious mind remembers everything prior to our ability to have data compared, right? Taking in that data and comparing it against our programming. We don't have that process yet. That process hasn't been born yet. It hasn't been developed yet. It hasn't evolved yet. And so they are swimming in this beautiful subconscious and superconscious sea. And there are many, many more examples like that that are verifiable that science is now starting to really honor and appreciate and accept the concept of reincarnation and that we can access and verify our past lives. Something else that we do with past lives that I think is quite amazing is an additional, and it's not about how we carry karma, but it's how we can use past life regression therapy. And that is to go back to a lifetime to something positive, where we developed a skill or an ability that could really come in handy right now, right? Because through karma and through reincarnation, we are choosing different life lessons for our growth. So that behooves us to know that in previous lifetimes, we may have mastered something else that we're kind of not working with actively right now. And we may have forgotten about it. And we may have this innate ability that's dormant. And we can wake it up if that's something that would help us today. And we can do that. So on September 24th, I want to let you know that I am going to be leading a group of people through a past life regression therapy session to travel back to a lifetime where you discover a positive skill or attribute that will assist you right now. I had a past life, so this is where I'll tell you a little piece about mine quickly. I experienced my first past life regression to a positive skill or attribute, and it was extraordinary because at first it feels like you're making it up. And I saw myself working and the fire was going, and it was very old 13th century Scotland. I was working for a clan family. The house was large. I was working in one corner over in the back, and I was a healer. I was creating a lot of medicine at the time, poultices, tinctures, drying herbs, mashing herbs, adding liquids to them, making liquid tinctures. And I worked really, really hard. I was in that lifetime and I just felt tired to my bones. But that was my job. And that's what I did. That was my service. And I saw so many children. I can remember it now just talking about it vividly. There was just so many children that were coming to me. And at the time, when you think about it, this was, you know, there was no penicillin. People were dying at very young ages. Infections, pneumonia, these things were rampant. And I was seeing a lot of kids. But it explained some things, so many amazing things. I went on to see some beautiful parts of that lifetime, a sister, a marriage. I passed on the information that I was learning to her daughter. But it was interesting because it explained some things to me about this current lifetime that I'm in. I never felt that desire for children in this lifetime. And I always felt a little guilty about that. Like, well, people don't really look at that. When you meet people, they say, do you have children? And I say, nope. And they kind of look at you like, oh, okay. And I think, well, dogs, lots of dogs, but no babies. And I just didn't have that pull this lifetime. It just wasn't for me. But boy, did that lifetime explain it, because I looked after everybody's children in that lifetime. All of them brought their children to me for everything, cuts, scrapes, bruises, infections. So I looked after a lot of babies, and I just did not want to look after babies in this lifetime. And that really released me from feeling, you know, a little bit guilty as a woman, like you're supposed to have children, that's what you do. And that just dissipated right there, because I thought, oh, I've done that. I did a really good job of that. It also explained this ability that I have in this lifetime that I had no idea where it came from. And I make all my own body care products. I make the best chocolate body butter you have ever seen in your life. It smells delicious. It is so clean you could almost eat it, except for the shea butter. I don't want you to eat shea butter. But everything else in there is food grade. And I don't know where it came from, but I just developed the recipe. And so there's the body salves and the essential oil perfumes with the lavender and the jasmine and the rose and certain combinations. And I didn't know where I knew that from. But it was important to me to live a non-toxic life. And all of a sudden, going back to that lifetime, I realized that came from an old, old lineage. I learned that from my mother and my mother's mother, and I passed that on to my sister's daughter. And so it was extraordinary for me to understand where this came from and that I am part of that lineage, and so that you have access. So now here's where it gets interesting. You have access to go back and look around at that lifetime as often as you want. You have access to go back and have conversations and pick up more of those skills and bring them into this lifetime. How about that? Isn't that fascinating? Doesn't that become valuable for us as a tool to really understand more of who we are and bring more into our mission and our purpose here, more into our confidence and love and passion to live our life on purpose, who we are now, feeling good about that, collapsing any old programming that says we're not enough, because we are enough. Every single one of us is enough. And so thank you for that. I want you to think about that between now and next month. What might be happening in your life that comes from another time that you may not need to carry anymore? False guilt, false fear, physical karma, things that are unexplainable that you're ready to let go of. And if you'd like to do some one-to-one work, I love working with people. This is absolutely my passion, and I am happy to take you on and have a conversation. I offer free 30-minute consults, and then we can look at booking sessions for you. If that's something you want to investigate with me, I would be honored. So with that, I'll turn it back to you in the studio and say have a wonderful rest of your show. Thank you, as always, for allowing me into your heart and into your homes. It means so very much, and I hope you find my offerings valuable, insightful, and thought-provoking. Until next time, bye for now.
Thank you, Meg. Incredible. Chocolate body butter? Oh, we're going to have to talk. I don't know. you got my attention with that one. Also, the seven-year-old. I have to say, I've studied hypnosis a lot myself, but I did not know that. At 7 years old is when you start getting the data line, so to speak, in line with it. That's fascinating. Anyway, thanks so much for that, Meg. Meg is a clinical hypnotherapist and does private sessions with you over the internet, as well as Allison. Allison is a psychological astrologer, and she has an incredible approach. You can also catch Allison on BBC quite a bit. She does a segment on BBC fairly regularly. So anyway, thank you all for that. We're going to step into the final channel from the group here in just a minute. But before we do, I want to tell you a little bit of what's going on here with our processes here at Espavo right now. We have two separate segments that we're working with. The main one is the empowerment stream. That is the continual class that goes from one sector to the other. Now, each month we focus on different topics, and we'll tell you the topics and let you know what that is so that you can go in and you can just buy that 1 month if you want, or you can get in for 3, 6, or 9 months, or excuse me, 3, 6, or 12 months to do that. And each one you get in, of course, you get discounts. The kicker is you can cancel at any time. So we'd like you to come and experience the empowerment stream. That is the big one for us. The empowerment stream has been going through an entire series called the Creator Series. It actually started with one of the first channels in the empowerment stream, where the group explained that we were complete creator beings and how much we create, and gave us quite a few examples of exactly what to do and new tools to learn how to create in different ways. With that seminar, we started the empowerment stream and have gone through different aspects. And to me personally, it almost feels like they give me things to hold up for you to create. Almost like I can give you this here idea here and you can create it. It's been magical, some of the things that they've pulled up and come with. But we're coming to an end to that series. And starting next week, we're going through the final aspect of the Creator Series. And that will be actually a whole process of the Light Challenge. This is actually, we're going to be for 3 different days. We're going to challenge you with different things to do to actually help you move forward in your own evolution and your own work. It's great if you take these courses, but this is a way to put them into use. Very specifically. So you have options of what you want to do, obviously. It's a free choice planet, but we do want to invite you to that because that is the close to the entire Creator Series that we've been working with since the beginning of the Empowerment Stream. Right after that, we go straight into the Tools Series. These will be higher vibrational tools, the SAOTO tools, to work with how we can do that. And one of the very first one of them is going to be, how do we channel? How does that exactly work? And how many different levels can you actually channel on? There's some incredible things that they want to bring, new material, and coming up in this as well. So I am very excited about that and invite you to that. At the close of today's session, we are going to play a little promo video to explain a little bit about that particular class coming up. But I wanted to explain that to you because we are changing the entire series and we're going into the tools, the higher vibrational tools. And quite honestly, I can't wait. We have quite a few healing tools and different things that we're going to be working with that they'll be bringing out during that time. Now, also, in addition to all that, we did a seminar a little while back, a little over a year ago, called Crossing the Veil. That now is a book, and I'm very proud of this book. It's a fairly small book. It's 156 pages, and it is on sale for $9.99. They had to be Tesla numbers. And the other book that we have there is actually the Kindle book. Now, the Kindle book is $3.33, but you might see that on the page here, and this is the United States one, by the way. You've got Amazon DE in Germany, which covers a lot of different places. It covers Holland, Belgium, a lot of other places. You've got Amazon IT, which is the Italian version. It covers Greece. It covers Italy. It covers different areas of that nature. We've got different Amazons and different ones, so your Amazon may look a little bit different than this one. I will tell you that, but we are covering all of them. And I will also tell you, my previous books were published in 18 languages. I've been telling everybody 14 for years, but I went through them to get all the names of the publishers so I could write all of them and tell them that I published a new book. And there's 18, including English. So anyway, of those languages, we have notified all of our previous publishers that have published in those 18 languages. And if I do not get responses from them, we're going to publish them anyway. We're going to ask some of you to translate them and some of our own translation teams to translate them and publish them. Because quite honestly, the book industry has changed. And things are on a different level now. So we're writing to them first to see if they want to publish the books. And I've got all of them except Japan. I couldn't read the Japanese book to tell where it was. So if any of you know the Japanese publisher that published my books, write to me, please. I'd appreciate it. But nonetheless, let me tell you what this is happening here in the United States. And I think other places too, but I can't be sure. You'll see here that the book is $9.95, and that that is the paperback book. But you'll also see that there's another book there that says zero. Well, let me show you what that is, because that's an interesting point. What is happening here is that they have a new program. And the new program simply means that they're trying to promote something. They're promoting their Kindle online version. And their Kindle online version means that the program is free. And they'll give you the book for free. Now, you have to sign up for Kindle Unlimited to do that, which is $9.95 a month. But the first month is free. And if you wish to go in, get the book for free, and then cancel the Kindle Unlimited, you can do it there. If not, you'll have to go down below in this really tiny print and click on that in order to buy the book at $3.33 in the Kindle version. And by the way, in the Kindle version, you do not necessarily have to have a Kindle. That's why they're introducing this whole new piece. They've spent so many millions, tens of millions of dollars developing this Kindle, and now they're finding out that people lose them. They lose them everywhere, and then they can't get on the internet. They can't read them on the internet. They're getting upset. They're putting it on the internet. And furthermore, even if you don't want to use that Kindle Unlimited version, Kindle itself has a simple reader free of charge that you can download, so you don't actually have to have a Kindle in order to read this book. Okay? Just wanted to make that clear. We are using Amazon primarily at this point. Very simple. The entire publishing industry has changed rather drastically. And years ago, I was set up not only with my own distribution points and everything else, but we had all our distributors that worked with the metaphysical community. It was awesome. All of that has gone by the wayside over the years, so we're kind of rebuilding a lot of new things. But I will tell you, it's here. We're going to make sure that it's available globally. It is right now, but right now it's only available globally in English. I will tell you that Turkish is coming. Turkish has accepted it. It's the only one that's accepted it so far. And Turkish is coming up pretty soon. So she's actually translating it right now, Semra. So you've got some great possibilities there in Turkey. And we hope to come see you again someday soon. That is the truth. Okay, that's enough for what I wanted to explain. That's our advertising for the day, to kind of tell you what's going on with everything and where we are with a lot of the programs. But the empowerment stream is moving into a different level. And for those of you who haven't experienced the empowerment stream, it actually goes from month to month. So they tie together, okay? And that's an important part about it too as well. But anyway, I'll be back in just a moment. I'm just going to take a brief time out because the group really wants to get into this, and we are running a little bit long today. But thanks for being with us here, and thank you all for being a part of this incredible family. Aspava. Greetings, dear ones. I am Merlia. I join you with such pride today, for you have changed. You have shifted much of the energy already. Yes, it's like a big freight train going down the track at thousands of miles per second, and you're turning. It takes a while to turn. It takes a while to see the effects of that in moving. But we're very excited to show you that you are moving in the feminine energy. And that's something that's taking place on a daily basis. It's not what you're seeing in your news, is it? What you're seeing in your news is force, which is typically the masculine energy. Now, please understand, we're not talking about men versus women here, because there's many men, thank God, that carry a blend of beautiful masculine feminine energy, as well as women, who are not afraid to carry the power of the masculine as well as the feminine energy. But for the most part, you could describe the masculine as being force. For that is what it was all built up to be. You're told as a young boy that you're going to be strong and powerful, and you're going to be big, and you're going to be there, and you're going to learn how to fight, and all the crazy things that they teach you as children. But that is the paradigm of the male energy that has been passed on from time to time and time. And what you're finding is that many of those in charge of your world right now are carrying that energy out big time. Yes, Putin's war is one of them. You have 11 million displaced people right now over a masculine energy. Plain and simple. This would not be a feminine energy. One of the other interesting things that you see is what's happening in the United States. It grew up out of the Wild West, where the fastest gun in the West would be the winner. Haven't put that away much, have you? And even though you've grown eons of time, even though almost 80% of you want to get rid of some of those guns, want to take some of those massive killers off the market, you can't, because your Congress has been bribed. Yes, plain and simple. It's money. It's very simple. 80% of you want some sort of control, but it can't get through. Watch those that have voted certain ways, because you do have ultimate control. Here you are, 197 days into this year, with 309 mass shootings already. Can you not grow up? Is that where the problem is? Or you simply not have any connection? Well, I'm here to tell you specifically, none of those mass shootings were done by a female. Not one. It's time to grow up. And we're not just talking about guns. We're talking about the feminine energy coming back in charge, balancing much of the energetics of planet Earth in the way that it works, not through force, but through harmony. Now, yes, it's challenging at best to be able to do that, to break those boundaries, to break those limitations that you've had before. But it's time. You don't have that much longer. You're seeing how difficult life is getting with the rules that you have in place. And we're not just talking about guns or war or anything else. We're talking about the masculine energy of force ruling your planet. When you're done with that, there's another energy that's ready to take over. Not by force. That's the interesting piece. It's there now. Just simply stand up and hold your hand up. As one of those who are there, whether you're masculine, feminine, doesn't make any difference at that point. You are ready for change, and it's time. It won't happen overnight. Nothing does. But the feminine energy is way in the background for far too long, dear ones. It is absolutely time to stand up and take your power in the feminine energy, whether you're masculine or feminine, whether you're a male or female, it doesn't make any difference. The masculine energy is completely out of control on your planet. And I'm here to tell you, it's time to awaken from the dream, to hold your power so that your children and their children's children can have a place to actually grow up, can share some of the beautiful energy of the planet that you were given as you came onto this beautiful place. The time is now, dear ones, to awaken from the dream and take your power in any shape, to simply focus. Now, does that mean that everything's going to change? No, it's a freight train and it's moving at incredible pace. But these will be some of the last opportunities you have before that feminine energy is capped off. It's time. It's time to hear the call, to step into your power, whatever that looks like. and to speak your truth. Many that don't speak their truth because they're afraid of what others will think. It's time to open your mouth. Are you always right in your truth? No, of course not. You're evolving just like everyone is. But nothing happens if you're quiet. Welcome home, dear ones. And with that, we tell you, you have been here before. There have been times, dear ones, where sections of planet Earth, and we say that because you are a multidimensional planet. There are basically 11 of you existing in this moment, all doing different things, even going by different names, having different relationships, having different jobs, having different connections, all taking a part of your spirit and having a different experience in that. And there are parts of planet Earth in other dimensions that have made that shift to where they're not completely controlled. And it's not about controlling with the feminine energy. That would be just as much out of balance as you are right now. But there is a balance that's possible. And that has already happened in one of your other dimensional levels of planet Earth and is about to happen in another one. Where will planet Earth in your dimension be? Will you fall in as the 11th one to fall in line, or will you be one of the early ones to awaken from the dream? And to pull a balance into your reality that you may have never thought of before. Welcome home, dear ones. We tell you the feminine energy has so much more power, but it is not through force. But it is time. Connect up. Speak your mind. Speak your heart. Even speak your fears, dear ones, because once you lay them out there, you can eradicate them. Follow your heart and your own harmonies and apply them in the world around you. Every moment of every day, and you'll start to see planet Earth changing, shifting toward a gentler, more common place to be, not fighting for survival anywhere. There are parts of your planet that have already made that switch. It's so beautiful and so calm. We tell you, in your dimension, you don't even know what peace looks like. It's been a long time. But when you're ready, follow that heart. Know that it's all there waiting for you. Because you are the greatest angels that have ever lived. And with that, we leave you for the time being. It's now in your hands, dear ones, to take this energy and create the highest potential that you can create, knowing that you are greatly loved. There are billions of souls on this side of the veil, right behind you, pulling you, encouraging you to step into your magic now. Welcome home, dear ones. And with that, we leave you. It is with the greatest of honor that I greet you in this way. I ask you to treat each other with respect, nurture one another, and play well together. I am Merlia, the feminine aspect of Merlin. And I love you dearly. Welcome home. Aspava. I've got to catch my breath for a second after that one. I haven't channeled Merlia in quite some time. She really draws it out of me, I must say that. Anyway, I did want to send a special thanks to everybody. This is certainly a team effort that puts on. We work on this for quite some time before you actually see it. And just to give a special thanks to all those. Meg Adamson is a huge part of Espavo in general, but as a presenter, and of course she does some incredible hypnotherapy sessions as well. So take your little 7-year-old and go back to her. She did some incredible stuff right here. On top of that, we've got, Allison Chester Lambert as a psychological astrologer. And of course, you can see her on BBC, as we said, if you're in the UK. Also, we have Elena Ira. She's the one that gives us such a great look. Elena does all our logos, all our backgrounds, many of the aspects that she does here as well. Then we have Nick Pevmatikos. He's our webmaster, does all the technical aspect. He's in Greece along with Elena, and they do an absolutely incredible job with us. Then we have Kathy Moran. She handles all the support services. When you fill out a support ticket, she's the one that answers it. Incredible. On top of that, we have Gail Harris, who's a producer. She kind of oversees pretty much everything that we work with here in Espavo, and especially on the broadcast. Now, thank you all for doing that. Espavo is a combined effort of a lot of people. The word itself came from an early channel of the groups in the Amor stories. The word Espavo simply means thank you for taking your power. And I'd like to leave you with that one. Thank you all. And we hope the feminine rises very quickly. Espavo, everyone.